It's Nardwuar, a human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at doo-doo-loo-doo-doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
It's Nardwuar, a human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at doo-doo-loo-doo-doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hello and welcome to Unseated Airwaves. My name is Danny and I am the Indigenous Collective Lead here at CITR 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine. CITR is located on the unceded current territories of the Musqueam First Nation and the historical shared territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish people in the city that has been colonially labeled as Vancouver. My name is Danny. My paternal side is Otipemsawa Nehio from Treaty 6 kind of area, and I use she, her pronouns. And I'm joined with other members of the collective.
Hi everyone, my name is Aditya. I'm from Mangaluru in India and I grew up in Bahrain.
Hi, my name's Cooper. I grew up in on Coast Salish territories in what they call Lynn Valley. My mummy's side is from Scotland and my daddy's side is from India. Should I say other stuff? I'm studying plants. I love plants.
Shout out plants.
Yeah.
We love plants.
Yeah.
So today's episode is titled Love and Life in the Downtown East Side.
Hello. The term Downtown East Side is most often used to refer to an area 10 to 50 blocks in size. A few blocks east of the city's downtown central business district. The neighborhood is centered around the intersection of Main Street and Hastings Street, where residents have gathered for over 100 years to connect. Let's go. Sorry.
Around the beginning of the 20th century, the downtown East Side was Vancouver's political, cultural, and retail center. Over several decades, the city center gradually shifted west, and the DTES, the downtown East Side, became a poor neighborhood, although relatively stable. In the 1980s, the area began a rapid decline due to several factors, including an influx of hard drugs, policies that pushed sex work and drug-related activity out of nearby areas, and the cessation of federal funding for social housing. By 1997, an epidemic of HIV infection and drug overdoses in the DTES led to the declaration of a public health emergency. As of 2018, critical issues include opioid overdoses, especially those involving the drug fentanyl, decrepit and squalid housing, a shortage of low-cost rental housing, and mental illness, which often co-occurs with addiction.
The population of the DTES is estimated to be around 7,000 people. Residents experience Canada's highest rate of death from encounters with police. And I'll repeat that to make sure you heard that. Residents experience Canada's highest rate of death from encounters with police. The neighborhood began a marked shift before Expo 86, where an estimated 800 to 1,000 tenants were evicted from DTES residential hotels to make room for tourists. With the increased tourist traffic of Expo 86, dealers introduced an influx of high-purity cocaine and heroin in efforts to clean up other areas of the city. Police made more effort to criminalize the cocaine market and street sex work, but these activities resurfaced in the DTES. Within the DTES, cops gave up on arresting huge numbers of individual drug users and tried to focus their efforts on dealers instead. Meanwhile, the provincial government adopted a policy of deinstitutionalization of the mentally ill, leading to the mass discharge of Riverview Hospital's patients with the promise that they would be integrated into the community.
Between 1985 and 1999, the number of patient days of care provided by BC psychiatric hospitals declined by nearly 65%. Many of the deinstitutionalized people moved to the DTES, attracted by the accepting culture and low-cost housing, but they struggled without adequate treatment and support and soon became addicted to the neighborhood's readily available drugs.
Between 1980 and 2002, more than 60 women went missing from the downtown east side, most of them sex workers. A large number are missing and murdered Indigenous women. Robert Picton, who had a farm east of the city where he held raves, was charged with the murders of 26 of these women and convicted on 6 counts in 2007. He claimed to have murdered 49 women. As of 2009, an estimated 39 women were still missing from the downtown east side.
Across Turtle Island, 490 Indigenous women and girls were murdered between 2009 and 2021. This translates to a rate that is 6 times higher than non-Indigenous women. In 1993, the federal government stopped funding for social housing and the rate of building social housing in BC dropped by 2/3 despite rising demand for it. By 1995, reports had begun to emerge of houseless people sleeping in parks, alleyways, and abandoned buildings. Cuts to the provincial welfare program in 2002 caused further hardship for the poor and unhoused citywide. Unhoused people climbed from 630 in 2002 to 1,300 in 2005. I don't have the numbers on that today.
Without a viable retail economy, a drug economy proliferated, with an accompanying increase in crime, while police presence decreased. Crack cocaine arrived in Vancouver in 1995, and crystal methamphetamine started to appear in the DTES in 2003. In 1997, the local health authority declared a public health emergency in the DTES. Rates of HIV infection, spread by needle sharing amongst drug users, were worse than anywhere in the world outside of sub-Saharan Africa, and more than 1,000 people had died of drug overdoses. Efforts to reduce drug-related deaths in the DTES included the opening of a needle exchange in 1989 and the opening of North America's first legal safe injection site in 2003, and treatment with antiretroviral drugs for HIV. A shift among users from injected cocaine to crack cocaine use may have also slowed the spread of disease. Rates of HIV infection dropped from 8.1 cases per 100 person years in 1997 to 0.37 cases per 100 person years by 2011.
And with that, we're going to take a music break. You'll be hearing Status and Clarity by DJ Osho. Also known as Irene Askew, DJ Osho is Afro-Indigenous and a former member of the Squamish Nation Council. She's also Two-Spirit. You'll be hearing her track, Status and Clarity. Next up is Men in Black by Prado Monroe. Is Afro-Colombian and Red River Métis. Saki Yue, which is an Indigenous music festival, SakiYue.com says that she converts manic energy into magic. The pop luminary will turn on a dime from sweet to sadistic before doubling back all over again. On her 2021 debut, Prado Monroe EP for Teamwork Records, she flips the term genre upside down once and for all with a big smirk. Born in Vancouver, Canada, on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations, she is committed to the Black and Indigenous communities that raised her. Circa 2016, inspired by everything from York to Gucci Mane, Prado bought herself her first guitar and learned how to produce. She began self-releasing music under the moniker of Alien Kanye at a prolific pace, catching the attention of the OWSLA crew, all while attending high school. The singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and producer began lending pen to various artists. She was the contagious melodies behind various NY-based male rappers. Further unearthing her love and disposition to wordplay and pop music, Prado learned to lead without fear, using her unique voice and no bullshit delivery all for herself. In late 2020, the now 22-year-old industry titan broke silence with LA-based Teamwork Records and her release of Strip, a dreamy two-pack alt-pop EP featuring singles Steven and Drip. This Feb, we're playing all Afro-Indigenous artists during our music breaks, so you'll be hearing more of that, and check out our previous episodes.
This is going out to the people in our territory, Squamish Nation, especially the Humolchiston Reserve, Capilano, that's where I reside, so here we go. Which team am I about or considered a member? Like blood quantum? Blood quantum? What is that? My mama lost her status, then they gave it right back. 1/4, 5 nickels, how to represent that? 555 according to the Indian Act. I'll give you this card so you can keep in touch. Scam me like a barcode, owes you very much. Mama forced a school where the priests ate great. Turkey with stuff and rich food on their plate. Students ate fast food, it was actually scraps. Stuff you wouldn't feed to your dogs or your cats. Still under his eye, the colonial one. Generational scars will never be undone. My people have been exploited for years. Turn off the camera, we shed too many tears. Status and clarity, that's right, life hasn't been fair to me. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm all about this. What side are you on? What do you think? Educate yourself, Google the link. Links to fake news, boss with nothing to lose. Painted criminals, try a walk in our shoes. You say we're troublemakers, cutting supplies. But who will you turn to when the rivers run dry? Protesters? More like land defenders. It's like returning mail back to sender. Be careful what you say, oh be careful what you do. The hate is so real when they're describing you. Eyeing you. Eyeing you. Status and clarity. That's right, life hasn't been fair to me. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm all about this. Status and clarity. Status and clarity. That's right, life hasn't been fair to me. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm all about this. Status and clarity. Love mountains and trees, what you think we're defending? Canada exploits beauty, yeah, racism is trending. Feels like the world is ending. Feels like the world is ending. Where you were standing, the land is unceded. We've never surrendered, we've never been defeated. Reconciliation has a price on its head. Felt good for a minute, but guess what? It's dead. I wanted this job and this is what I got. Tongue tied with a muzzle, put on the spot. Think you can buy us off all dollars, no cents. Put money in our pockets, then ask us for a rent. So where your house is? Ours. Where your mom lives? Ours. Where your son plays? Ours. 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 Status and clarity. That's right, life hasn't been fair to me. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm all about this. Status and clarity. Status and clarity. Status and clarity. That's right, life hasn't been fair to me. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm all about this. Status and clarity.
Status and clarity.
Status and clarity. That's right, life hasn't been fair to me. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm all about this. Status and clarity.
Status and clarity.
Status and clarity. That's right, life hasn't been fair to me. I wouldn't trade it for the world, I'm all about this. Status and clarity. Status and clarity.
Stealing my name, always capping, never choice. When he met off of my gun. And my team is hella heavy, we be flexing on you, man. I'm a vixen, you a victim, I don't never show my hands. Plus you need him, I'ma beat him, call me G for glamorous. I forgot you just a thotty, why you talk to me again? Got my cheese on in the club, bitch, I'll throw a drink again. I don't need another nigga, I don't need another friend. Cause I'm on my own shit, you can eat my whole day. Men in black, all sluts, no lie. Can't get shop and work my cash and fall. Like men in black, ghost, that's no lie. Can't get in the club at night. Always capping on my line. Why he call me, I decline. Men in black, wanna taste. But we just eliminate. Always capping, never choice. When he message, don't reply.
Is your mom obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So is ours. Are you too obsessed with Vicks Vapor Rub?
So are we.
Tune in to Viva Porú, el ungüento para el alma, here at CITR 101.9 FM.
A radio show dedicated to Latin awesomeness and culture. Hosted by yours truly, the one and only
DJ Bruja, and the other one and only
DJ D-Rod.
Disclaimer, Viva Peru, El Momento para el Alma contains a high amount of llama content. DJ D-Rod and DJ Bruja are not responsible for a newly found llama obsession.
Catch us every other Sunday at 5 p.m. Besitos.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
It's Nardwar, the human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
So shout out to Okimwa Iskwe on Instagram for this. There is a cultural circle hosted by John Spence from the Squamish and Haida Nations where you can join in ceremony, drum, sing, talk, and share with community. Traditional meal is provided every Wednesday at 12 p.m., starting at 12 p.m., at 320 Alexander Street in so-called Vancouver. This is in the DTES. There's healing circles, traditional foods, all our relations. Thank you.
And now let's talk about Smokey D, a mural artist and activist who is based in the downtown East Side. and is recently featured in a documentary called Smokey D, Underworld Street Reporter.
This video is from Global News.
Well, he's lived on the mean streets of Vancouver's downtown east side and risen to be recognized as quite a well-known person now because of your art and the stories that you're telling through it. Smokey D, also known as James Hardy, or I guess yeah. James Hardy, also known as Smokey D, is here. And you've put together a documentary along with Nat Canuel. Yeah, thank you right. so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
As yeah, well. Yeah, yeah. And so I guess, why did you want to do that?
We wanted to do an all about downtown and just show you what's going on and all the people that have been passing away. And just what we're all about, and just the real gritty reality of it all, right? You know.
How long have you lived on the downtown east side?
20 years on and off, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've seen a few things.
Yeah.
You know the area well.
Here and there, yeah, definitely.
So what's the name of the documentary?
The name of the documentary is called Smokey Devil, Underworld Street Reporter.
Yeah.
Tried to make it as self-explanatory as possible, and you know, it's really about the contribution that Smokey has made, the beautiful contribution that he's made to our society in raising awareness of all the issues that we're facing in the community, and making it more beautiful, more colorful.
Mm-hmm.
For you, Nat, I guess, was there a particular takeaway or something that surprised you about Smokey D?
He's one of the most charming people I've had the chance of meeting. I'd consider him to be my best friend now. One of my best friends, just because we really, you know, clicked. And so, you know, I wasn't really expecting us to develop such a strong relationship together, basically.
Yeah. Well, we did it over a period of 2 years, about, right?
Yeah, a little over 2 years. Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was great, like what it was. And I think a lot of people will really like it. When we did it the other night, it had a standing ovation and stuff, so it was weird.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that was good.
So what is the message that you're hoping that people will learn through the documentary? Is there something you would like?
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to get, same with graffiti laws and stuff like that. I'd like to somehow show everybody that all graffiti artists are bad news, and that we're not all scumbags, just destroying people's property and so forth, right? And there is actual people that are doing a lot of straight art and stuff like that, and art that means things to people and people in the community, and just awareness of some things and stuff a lot. Because a lot of people write it on paper and put it on a wall, no one will pay attention, but if I paint it in the big mural style, people will stop and look, right?
Yeah. So what got you started doing street art or graffiti, I guess, however you want to classify it?
Years ago, back in the day, when I first started coming out, I saw it and I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then I started getting a lot of feedback from it. And man, I've been at it for years now, 20 years or something like that. And I've done a lot of different things, traveled around. I've done a lot of different things for missing women, and then memorials for people. This goes on and on, you know what I mean?
He really talks about the everything that goes on in life, really, you know?
And I like to
the human condition.
Yeah, I'd like to somehow get more legal spots for kids and people in to go to do it, so that they wouldn't get arrested or destroy other people's property, right? Mm-hmm. Have just set spots where they can go in and paint and not be arrested, right?
Yeah. Well, you're very talented.
Yeah.
A story, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. It's not just the same old name on the wall or whatever tag.
It's not just a tag.
Yeah, it's not.
It's more than that. And so I guess for you, does it help you kind of obviously express yourself, but does it take away any pain or bring any peace or maybe, I don't know, even bring on friendship?
Yeah, it does. It brings a lot of friendship on with different people. Chelsea Foreman with her family and so forth. Before she was found and stuff like that, I put a big missing post, a painting up for her. And we became very, very close with her family, with her father and so forth. And when I make these murals of them, of the people's families and that, some of them go there every day. Yeah. And make it their safe spot to go to, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's nice.
So, yeah.
That's nice. So you're thinking of others as well. It's not that's just right. something that you're yeah, doing. It's for the community.
Yeah, definitely.
And so for you, Nat, what are you hoping the people take away from this, and in particular from the downtown east side? Because it can obviously have some negative connotations, the area. Will this right. hopefully and elevate it?
I mean, there a lot of times I feel like, you know, being born and raised in the east side, the publicity that we get is not very positive most of the time.
Yeah.
And so this is an effort to try and counter that and to show that we do actually have really incredible people that are contributing, and that we just have really, you know, wonderful, beautiful people.
Yeah. And it's, and short, it, yeah.
it's a good neighborhood.
Yeah, get rid of the stereotypes, right? Yeah.
And there is a really nice community there, right?
Like, yeah.
I hope when people watch it that they realize that there is a really strong community
so
there.
So to that end, I was going to ask you as we wrap this up, where can people watch the documentary?
Well, we have the virtual online premiere happening July 27th.
Amazing.
That's going to be hosted by Cool World. And so we can, if you Google this Smoky Devil documentary, you'll be able to find that.
Yeah, right.
I was just thinking that at the front, that place, the front's going to have a showcase pretty soon, isn't it? Really? The block party?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have some more community screenings. So we have a Facebook yeah. group, Smoky Devil Underworld Street Reporter, that has all of our updates. And I brought you some photos, too,
oh,
that you can have. Those are for you. That's some of his
beautiful.
Work from the community. And so...
Those are
that's
gorgeous.
You
are very talented.
You
thank
like.
You.
Both of you for being able to put together the doc
yeah.
and you for obviously the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you both for coming in. I do appreciate it.
Firstly, I want to mention, like, as an Indigenous person, and we were out there with my girlfriend who's not speaking with today, but she went out with us to the DTES today, to Oppenheimer Park and then Maine and Hastings, and we walked around and we sat for a while and talked to people. Like, we didn't approach people, we just sat down and talked to people. and as Indigenous people, it's really, really hard that I feel like the only time we see people like us is either at events specifically for people like us or in the downtown east side, and it's our relatives who are suffering. And the population demographics of Vancouver as a region is roughly 2% Indigenous population, and the DTES is roughly 10%, but I think that number could be more. There's probably a lot of people who descend from Métis families within that statistically, and it's just hard. Like, that's, I really just want to emphasize, like, it hurts. Like, it's the same aching mm-hmm. feeling I get when I think about the buffalo and the genocide of our relatives. And just, it's just so sad. And I think that's important to mention. But with so many Indigenous people living in the DTES, one thing we noticed is pets. And so many people have dogs and pets who they love so much. And I found this account called Vet Outreach on Instagram. And I was looking at their story, and it was one of the puppies we saw today, the one that Cooper got to, like, play with.
Oh my God.
And it was the owner. Like, they don't take away the pets. They just help them and they treat them. And they, you know, give them their checkups and trim their nails. And
yeah, so cute. There's like a new dog every like 5 minutes.
Even less than that, every 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they're like bundles of them, like those
bundles.
Three in that little
in like those carts, like
yeah.
kind of like what you put kids in, those like wagons,
yeah.
kind of. We saw so many pets. We saw some with disabilities who their very loving humans had like adapted strollers and whatever to fit their needs, and there's just so much love to these animals, and it is so, the comments I see, like, comments online are just so toxic anyways, but mm-hmm. the comments I see online about unhoused people and pets, it's so cruel, and I feel like so many of these people do not interact with with unhoused people, and it's like, go out there, you will see the love people have, and for a community that is dealing with so much hurt and is so outside of the system, and it, because like, just in how capitalism works, like when we are within it, if you are someone who is below the poverty line, it is a completely different universe to
mm-hmm,
live in
mm-hmm.
and like it takes so much love to maintain a community and to keep each other alive in these times.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's not really talked about.
And you can just feel the love when you're down there. Like, we sat out on the street for like a few hours. We were just booling on the street. and so many nice people stopped by to say hi. Yeah, like Donnie was saying, so many nice pets and stuff.
So many.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one more thing that I realized, not only because I was there with some pretty amazing people, who would, you know, Danny and Cooper would just say hi to people very naturally and kindly. And then that made me think about, or it reminded me about how we're all just the same. We're all just human. And the pets also did the same thing. Like, yes, the animals don't have the kind of judgment and prejudice that we have. Mm-hmm. They were loving towards their owners and towards the other people on the streets.
Yeah. A lot of senior pets that definitely have a lot of love in their lives. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really good point because I think, like, I grew up over in,
Lynn Valley?
Yeah, I always pause because I'm like Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Musqueam.
In so-called Lynn Valley.
Yeah, what they call North Vancouver. And there's a lot of, like, reactive dogs, a lot of, like, rescue pets. And it's, like, all the pets that walk by today, they're also mellow and, like, well-behaved and, like, not stressed. You know, like, the pets are looking all right on the Downtown East Side. So I'm happy for them.
Yeah, and it shows that these are very caring people. It's not what the stereotypes say they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and capitalism. This is not a moral failure of these people. This is capitalism in its effects. Like, in a lot of our languages, we don't have words for unhoused. We don't have words for suicide. Mm-hmm. And it's like, because it's not a part of our way of being. And I feel like we're so used to capitalism as the norm and the way mm-hmm. of life mm-hmm. that we don't imagine a world outside of it.
Yeah, and we're also very afraid to relate to people who are different to us, whether they're unhoused or or addicted to drugs or do sex work. We kind of avoid interacting with them and avoid putting ourselves in their shoes because we are afraid. But once you actually just sit there or walk around in the DTES or just say hi to one of the residents, you'll just see all of those fears disappear.
Exactly. And people take care of each other. It takes so much work to stay alive right now if you're living in the DTES and you're in these marginalized communities. And that, it takes so much love, and there is so much love there. And we hopefully will be able to get Maxine on the line. We'll call after.
Yeah.
I have her number. We met some amazing people when we were out there, and seeing my relatives who are also doing well, who are also working in harm reduction and who are hoping to make things be more in a good way.
Aww.
It makes me so happy. Like, the amount of people we saw with naloxone kits and harm reduction workers everyone is just so kind and had so much to share.
Yeah, so many important people down there doing community work too.
Like what I was just talking about the community veterinary outreach.
Yeah.
And that's, again, so much love. Like, the people, it's an issue of access. Veterinary care is so expensive because of capitalism. So when we're outside of that with things like community veterinary outreach, these people are able to get their pets the help that they need because it's not an issue that they don't care to help their pets. It's sometimes they just absolutely cannot afford it. Because even many people who are living in the same kind of class barriers as us, I mean, my family is quite low income, and I know we all come from all different backgrounds, but still, like, even within this, so many people, it's like breaks the bank to afford veterinary care. So imagine if you were unhoused, how much that would be. And then people get online and say all of these terrible things, making it seem like a moral failure on these individuals when it is an issue of capitalism.
Yeah.
And shout out community veterinary outreach. That account was so sweet, and seeing the puppies we saw today on there. Just the love.
Yeah, for real. So much love. And I'm glad you bring that up, Danny, because it's like, you do see a lot of stuff about like morals around it and like meritocracy and all that. And I think I just walk around and I feel frustrated because I see people sleeping on the street and I think like, whoever is running this city
that I live in. And then a mattress store down the road.
Yeah, like, just open the doors and let them sleep on the mattresses. Like, they're
capitalism
people.
Capitalism is so dystopian and so unhuman. It's so unnatural.
It's so inhumane, and I think it's hard because it's like, how do you, when you're walking around just living your normal life, like, make sure that you humanize these people? Because it's awkward to be like on your way to the store while someone's like sitting on the street, like asking for money for food, you know? It's like it really is dystopian. It doesn't like overlap like without any.
How is this the best, most efficient economic system and we can't break out
really
of it?
It's really not.
Yeah.
It's definitely done on purpose. It's designed so that the powerful get more powerful and everyone else suffers. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And one more thing is that like me, just being there temporarily for, I guess, like a project, like being outdoors for that long was very draining and tiring. And I was just there like temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, I mean, I had eaten in the morning and I knew that I would eat later that day.
Yeah.
And so I just couldn't imagine like what it would be like if you were permanently there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had like instability in my own housing, like living in a car for a while, but it's like, it gets tiring. It really does. Like, I think that's why I felt comfortable out there today, just like hanging out. Because I've lived in my van for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels normal to just be kind of like out and about like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely, like, that was a hard month for me when I did that. Yeah. It drains on you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard.
It really means something to have a home, you know?
Like, absolutely.
Have running water, have a shower.
To have parents. Like, I haven't really had parents in my life since I was 16 because of a lot of stuff. And same with housing. And that's something a lot of people take for granted. And
yeah, definitely.
Just the comfort that we take for granted in every second of every day, and you listening probably right now, what kind of car are you driving? Let's think about that. Where do you lie? And you very likely have so much more in common with any individual living in the DTES than anyone who's making like over 100k a year, anyone who is in the, like, I don't know, 5% in Vancouver.
For real. And basics like that, like things like a shower.
Yes. So we'll be taking a short break, hopefully contacting someone we met today. And you'll be hearing I'd Rather Be Dreaming by Mama Rude Gal and then Tell Me Why by Boslin.
Oh,
The harder that I try, it's the less I get it right. And I don't even mind, cause I'm fucking up my life for you. Yeah, I'm fucking up my life for you. Yeah, I'm fucking up my life.
MRG Live presents Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26, 2024. Hailing from LA's Highland Park, Zahara makes detailed melodic indie rock that flits between shoegaze, post-punk, and dream pop. Their airy melodies, pensive guitar, and heart-churning lyrics join to create a dreamy indie rock. Don't miss Zahara at the Fox Cabaret on March 26, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com.
F7 Entertainment presents hardcore punk band Military Gun, performing cuts from their critically acclaimed album Life Under the Gun in Vancouver on Friday, March 8th at the Rickshaw Theater. Catch them in Vancouver before their upcoming performances at Bonnaroo and Coachella this year. Tickets on sale now at f7entertainment.com.
It's Nardwuar, the human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at Doo-Doo-Loo-Doo. Doo-Doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Women's groups in the DTES are sounding the alarm on the city's forced displacement of people living outside, saying the city's plan to remove shelters and tents from a stretch of East Hastings will further endanger Indigenous women.
According to an article by City News Everywhere, Atijub Christine Wilson, the Director of Advocacy for Indigenous Women at the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, or the DEWC, says that the removal of tents and structures in the area will decrease the safety of Indigenous women who are absolute homeless and have been displaced and have nowhere to go because of the lack of shelter, lack of attainable and affordable housing. However, in a news conference, Vancouver Mayor Ken Sims said that the city is hearing stories of violence, theft, and vandalism, and quote-unquote violence against women, and more specifically, violence against Indigenous women. Another quote is that we have said time and time again that large entrenched encampments like the one that we have on East Hastings is not a viable model going forward. And the longer the East Hastings encampment continues, the greater odds that more people will lose their lives and even more people will lose their homes. And that's why I and the city staff with my team made the decision to request support from the Vancouver Police Department to bring the encampment to a close. Basically, the mayor cited the violence against women and Indigenous women
as a reason to commit violence against Indigenous women. Yes,
exactly. In fact, and Wilson, the
Director of Advocacy at the Downtown Eastside Women's Center.
Yes. Wilson said in response that this increases their vulnerability, being absolute homeless and having nowhere to go at all due to the lack of shelters and lack of affordable and attainable housing and lack of mental health and lack of addiction treatment and detox, as well as the lack of transition housing.
It's just, it's so horrifying. And Ken Sims, I'm sorry if you have a child in the car, but fuck Ken Sims. This is Unseated Airwaves. I'm allowed to say that.
Yes, it's just another example of something that's clearly not doing anything to solve a problem and is actually making it worse, but it's being done in the name of solving that problem. It's being done so that certain people don't have to deal with the discomfort of seeing poor people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Boo. Boo. Mm-hmm. With that, please show kindness to the downtown east side. Please donate when you can. Please advocate when you can. Please get naloxone training.
Mm-hmm. It's available for free at the UBC Wellness Center. You can just drop in whenever they're open and get trained, and they'll give you free naloxone kits and refills whenever you would like.
Hey guys, I just want you to remember that the people on the downtown east side are your friends, and you should go learn from them because they're all really cool down there and they're all really smart too. So that's all from me.
Be nice to our relatives.
They're your family, like.
I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, you need to show compassion to our ones on the streets because some of them are the ones that survived.
Nobody needs to be sleeping out in the cold like that. We got enough blankets around town. So.
Yeah, when you have $25, go inside and buy a blanket for someone. Go do that. Buy a water bottle for someone. Show kindness to someone and listen to someone.
Yeah, do your thing. Go help someone.
And call out people in your life when you hear them sharing misinformation or dehumanizing people in the DTES. It is your job, if you call yourself an ally and like to think of yourself as an ally, to disrupt and to get in the way of people in your life. That uncle at dinner or, you know, don't be a bystander to these things.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And with that, thank you for tuning in to Unseated Airwaves today.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you, thank you.
Mwah. Hi, hi.
It's Nardwar, the human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at doo-doo-loo-doo, doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unseated Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. Collective meetings are hosted on Thursdays at 6 p.m. in the lower atrium of the Nest CITR station, with a remote option as well. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unseated Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, IndigenousCollective@CITR.ca.